Hafa Day, and welcome to Harvest Echoes from Harvest Baptist Church on Guam. Since our founding in 1975, pastors, evangelists, and missionaries have traveled from all over the world to Guam to speak to our people, preaching and teaching the Word of God. We're providing you access to this rich archive of sermons and lessons on Harvest Echoes. Our mission is to help people develop a heart for God. These messages, presented in conferences and special services at Harvest, seek to point you toward the Lord Jesus Christ and His Word. Today, a message from evangelist John Getch. It was presented in October of 2003. The title of the message, The Value of a Soul.
Mark chapter number 8, and beginning with verse number 34. The Bible says in verse 34, when he, that's Jesus, had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. I've often thought if someone came to me and they said, John, I will give you $1 million for your eyes. I'm not selling. Now, $1 million is a lot of money, I guess. Perhaps we could do much with $1 million in the Lord's work, and $1 million would be valuable, but my eyes, my ability to see, if I think about it long enough, is worth a whole lot more to me than $1 million. If someone came to me and they said, John, I'll give you $5 million for your ears. Again, I'm not selling. My ability to hear is very valuable to me in my life and ministry. Now, if my eyes are worth $1 million, if my ears are worth more than $5 million, what would my soul be worth? The Lord Jesus Christ asks us a question here in this passage. What shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? What is your soul worth to you tonight? What are you trading for your soul's eternity tonight? I want you to look at three aspects tonight of our soul. First of all, I want you to think with me about the design of our soul. When God created man, He created us differently than He did the plants and the animals and other things in His creation. You see, when God created man, the Bible says in Genesis 2 and verse 7 that the Lord God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. So when God created man, he not only created us with a body, but he created us with a soul. Now that soul that God has given to us as human beings is going to live somewhere forever. The body is one day going to die, just as animals die, just as plants die, just as other parts of God's creation lives for a time and then dies, so too our physical body is one day going to die. The Bible tells us in Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 7, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. In that sense, we're just like the grass of the field. We live for a period of time and we die. The Bible says in 2 Samuel 14 and verse 14, we must needs die and are as water spilt on the ground, which cannot be gathered up again. Neither doth God respect any persons. You see, we're just like water spilled on the ground. You ever heard the phrase, no sense crying over spilled milk? That came from the Bible, 2 Samuel 14:14. We must needs die and are as water spilled on the ground. If I take this glass and pour some of this water out of it onto this carpet, there's no way I can get that water back into that glass. It's spilled. No sense crying over it. No sense making a fuss over it. It's gone. And one day our life, just like that, will be gone physically. We will live for a time, and then our life will be over. In Job 4 and verse 14, man cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. In Job 16 and verse 22, Job said, when a few years are come, then I shall go the way whence I shall not return. In Ecclesiastes 3 and verse 2, Solomon said, a time to be born and a time to die. Young man right here on the front row, when's your birthday? April 16th, right? When's yours? February 12th. When's yours? August 2nd. And yours? November 7th. And yours? February 5th. If I went around this entire room, everybody in here could tell me your birthday. Some of you have tried to forget when it is, at least the year. But all of us have a birthday. And we probably have a birth certificate somewhere that proves that what we're saying is the truth. We were born on a certain day. We have a birth day. Can I ask you something? When's your death day? We don't know, but we all have one. Because the Bible says a time to be born, the time to die. You see, we don't die because we get old. We don't die because we get sick. We don't die because we meet an unfortunate accident. We die because it is appointed unto men once to die. Physically, all of us one day are going to die. We don't know when that's going to be. We all hope to live a long time. In fact, we don't like to talk about death. We buy life insurance. It's really death insurance. But we don't call it that. You have to die in order to get it. It's death insurance. But we call it life insurance. Isn't that odd? Yes. But you see, we don't like to talk about death. We don't like to think about our life ending. We like to think about living. We make plans to live. But all of us know in our hearts tonight that one day we're going to die. We all hope to live, to be of a good age. We all hope to have a fulfilled life. But young people die. Teenagers die. Children die. We don't know when death is coming. But God has designed us that when death comes physically, He's created us with a soul that's going to live somewhere forever. For you see, the Bible says in Hebrews 9:27, it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived on this earth, said in Ecclesiastes 12, the flesh returns to the ground, to the dust from whence it came, but the spirit shall return to God who gave it. When our life ends physically, our physical body will be placed in the ground and dust will become dust. But our spirit, our soul, will meet God. When Bob Jones Sr. was president of Bob Jones College in Cleveland, Tennessee, many years ago, he was sitting in his office one day doing some work, and he sensed that someone had come into the room. Without looking up, he kind of said, "Can I help you?" A young lady standing in front of his desk, one of the students there in the college, she said, "Dr. Jones, I'm going to kill myself." At that, he looked up at this young lady, and he said, "I'm sorry, you can't." She said, "No, I'm not kidding." She said, "I'm going to commit suicide." He said, "Sorry, you can't." She said, "Don't mock me. Don't make fun of me. I'm tired of living. I'm going to end it all today." He said, "Young lady, you can't do that. You're going to live somewhere forever." And you know, he was exactly right. Even if we would be foolish enough tonight to take our own life physically, it doesn't end at all, for the Bible says we're going to live somewhere forever because God has designed us with a soul. But notice secondly tonight, the desire of our soul. What's the desire of our soul tonight? All of us have some desires, I suppose, physically. We have some things that we'd like to do physically in our life before life ends. I meet people that have weird desires physically. They want to do wild things like bungee jumping. I don't want to go bungee jumping. You could pay me $10 million. I'm not jumping off of a building with a rope on my leg. It's just not me. I mean, that stuff's just not for me, but I meet people that have these wild ambitions physically. I'm sure that all of us have maybe a trip we'd like to take or maybe something we'd like to accomplish in a human physical sense during our time here in life. We have some physical desires. All of us, no doubt, in this room have some mental ambitions. Maybe there's a book you've laid aside you'd like to read. Maybe there's some studying you'd like to do, a degree you'd like to get as you go through life, maybe a computer program you'd like to learn. All of us have some things mentally that we would desire to add to our life. All of us have some social desires. Many of these young people one day have a desire to get married. Even those of us that are married, we see another couple in the church and we say, boy, I'd like to get to know them. We ought to ask them out to eat sometime. And we have desires to interact socially. All of us have these desires. But what's the desire of our soul? Solomon said, this is an evil which I have seen under the sun, whom God hath given riches and honor and life, but there's nothing left for his soul in that which he desireth. This is an evil disease. It's common among men. We live our whole life to get this and get that and obtain this and buy this, and yet somehow there's no desire for our soul. What is it that we want more than anything else spiritually tonight? I was preaching in Northern California years ago, and when I arrived on a Saturday night, I met a young man. His name was Ed. And Ed had just gotten saved. And you know how new Christians are. They love sharing their testimony. And of course, I love hearing testimonies. And this guy, he was about, 25 or so. And Ed said, Brother Getch, he said, I grew up in Connecticut. And he said, I went to church every day of my life. From the time I was born till I turned 18, I never missed a day of church. He said, when I graduated from high school, I decided I had had enough of that kind of regiment and discipline and going to schools, religious schools, and all that kind of thing. He said, so I left home. I wasn't rebellious. I wasn't mad at my parents and anything like that. But he said, I just wanted to get out on my own. And so he moved all the way to California. He got a job and kind of forgot about religion for a while. But he got this job, and a guy that worked with him was a Christian, and he started inviting Ed to come to church. Well, the last thing Ed wanted to do was go to church. He said, I don't need church. I've had enough church to last me my lifetime. I don't need to go to church. And this guy kept saying, you got to come to our church. Well, finally he said, Brother John, I went just to get him off my back. And he said, I went to church that next Sunday with him, and I'd never been in a church like that. He said, people actually shook my hand. They smiled at me. And then he said, they preached the Bible. He said, I had never even opened a Bible in my entire life. Now, I'd been religious, but he said, I'd never read the Bible. And he said, what they preached out of the Bible was that I could have eternal life in heaven. He said, I'd never heard that before. And he said, I left, not intending to go back, but he said, the next Sunday I found myself back in that church listening again. And the third Sunday I came back, he said, I got saved. And he was one of these kids that, you know, he wasn't married, just a young guy. And he said, Brother Getch, he said, I just want to learn everything I can. And he said, I'm so excited about these meetings. During the course of that week, he came to me and he said, Brother Getch, he said, can you help me study the Bible? Well, I gave him some tips, you know, about reading the Bible and so on. About a year later, I went back for another occasion at that church, and Ed came up. He was so excited, and he said, Brother Getch, he said, this is great. He said, I started working in junior church in our church here. He said, I don't do anything, don't say anything. I just sit there and make the kids be quiet. And he said, I started going out visiting people. I have a soul-winning partner, and I don't say anything. I just keep the dog out of the way and the little kids happy while my partner, he talks to him about the Lord. He said, Brother Getch, I've noticed something about people that God uses. He said, I've watched my pastor. I've watched people in junior church. He said, I've watched my soul-winning partner, and every one of them that God's using, they know the Bible. He said, I need to know the Bible. He said, I have a desire to memorize the Bible, but he said, I don't know how to go about it. Would you help me? Well, man, Here he is again, single guy, got lots of time on his hands. I went over to his apartment. He had a computer there, and we started putting some things together so he could start memorizing scripture. You know, when I went back to that church a couple years later, Ed had literally memorized hundreds of verses. It was amazing. About 4.5 years later, I went back again, and this time Ed could not come to the revival. He had cancer. They'd given him just a few months to live. He was going up to Stanford Medical Clinic every day, not for help. Every day they would take a few more tumors off of his body and study them to try to help others. They had removed over 50 tumors just from his chest area alone. One day he was able to come by the office just for a moment, and we sat down in the pastor's office, and I remember Ed sitting there on that couch. He literally opened his shirt. He could take his fingers and touch his ribs through the holes in his body. He said, "Brother Getz, why? Why?" He said, "I don't understand. I just wanted to have God use me. I would have even been willing to be a preacher if that's what God wanted. Why is this happening? I memorized all those scriptures." He had just finished memorizing the book of Revelation when he found out he had cancer. Whole book. I said, "Ed, I don't know. I don't know. I'm not God." But I said, "Ed, I know this. The devil wants you to get mad. He wants you to get bitter. You can't let that happen." And I remember we wept together there in that office and prayed together. About 6 months later, the pastor called and he said, "Brother Getz, I just thought you'd want to know that we're having Ed's funeral this morning, and I knew you'd want to be praying for us." I went back to the church a few months later, and one night after the service, a lady came up to me. Her name was Nancy Morales, and she handed me a card. She said, "Brother Getz, this is the address of Ed Guinan's parents." She said, "I think you ought to write them. Ed talked about you to them, and they would know who you are. You ought to write them a letter." "Well, I don't write people in churches. That's not ethical for an evangelist to do, and I just have never made a practice of writing people, you know." And so I said, "Well, thank you," and I didn't really comment. I showed it to the pastor later, and I told him that she had told me, and he said, "Oh, you ought to write him." I said, "Pastor, what would I say?" He said, "You ought to write him." Well, I stuck it in my Bible, the address, and I put it on a list of things to do, but I didn't do it. And finally, after about 4 months, have you ever put something on a list, and every time you get everything crossed off that list except for one thing, you have to move it to another list? I hate that. And finally, after moving that thing about 4 times, I said, "You know, I'm just going to write them a letter." And so reluctantly, I really didn't know what to say, but I said, "You know, I knew your son, and he was a blessing to me, and you know, I just tried to share some scripture with him and whatever," and sent it off. I got a letter back. I wonder if you'd mind if I read just a brief part of it to you. Mrs. Guinan writes, "When Ed had difficulty in speaking clearly in the beginning, he would often say, 'If I can't preach, then this life has no meaning.'" Could I leave the word "preach" out of that line and ask you to fill in the blank? "If I can't, then life has no meaning." What would you put in there? Ed put "preach." What would you put in there? "If I can't be successful, if I can't have a new home, if I can't drive a new car," what's in the blank? Whatever it is the desire of your soul. Whatever you put in that blank is what you're living for. But his wishes were answered on Wednesday night, November the 26th, when he preached to his church. The pastor told me when he called about the funeral, he said, "Brother Getz, strange thing happened Saturday night." He said, "I went up to Stanford to see Ed, as I always did on Saturday night." He said, "I was in the elevator. I was thinking about Ed, knowing he had just a short time to live. And the Holy Spirit seemed to say to me, 'Ask Ed to preach.' And I said to myself, 'Ed can't preach. He's never been to Bible college. And besides, he's dying. He's hooked up to all these machines. Lord, he can't preach.' Lord said, 'Ask him to preach.'" He said, "I'm arguing in the elevator with God about whether Ed should preach or not in our church. the door open. I started walking down the hall to his room, and his doctor was coming the other direction, so I stopped him, and we had met before, and he said, Doctor, I know this is kind of a strange request, but I just feel like Ed's always wanted to say something to our people at our church, and I wonder if it'd be possible if we paid for the ambulance. We've got some nurses in our church that could assist with the machines. If we worked it all out, could Ed come to our church like maybe next Wednesday night and say a few words? The doctor, he kind of looked at his charts and he said, well, it's kind of an unusual request. He said, Ed's dying. He has just a few days. But he said, if you're willing to go to that kind of expense, it's not going to make any difference. He said, I'll sign a release. He said, I went from there into Ed's room. His family was all gathered around. They knew he had just a short time. He said, I walked in, and after greeting Ed, he was laying back on the pillow there. And I said, Ed, could you preach for me Wednesday night at the church? He said, Ed's eyes brightened. He said, Pastor, I'd be glad to. Pastor went to the church Sunday morning. After he preached, he said, folks, before we go home today, I have an announcement. He said, this Wednesday night, we're going to have a special speaker. I want you to come here. He said, most of you know him. He's a member of our church. His name's Ed Guinan. He's dying. I've asked him to preach Wednesday night. Please come and hear him. He said, I don't know what you'll see when you come. There may be a hospital bed here on the platform. Ed may not be able to get out of that bed. He may be able only to speak for a few seconds, but I want you to hear what he has to say. His mother writes, there wasn't an empty seat in the place. Church seats 1,200. By the way, his pastor told me he stood in the pulpit hooked up to those machines and preached for an hour and a half. She writes, he had us laughing and crying, and I was so proud of him as I knew how much it meant to him to be there. And I knew how much severe pain he had. That Saturday night in the hospital, his dad was there. His friends, Howard and Cora Daniel and Nancy Morales, all from the church. Also, his brother Bob was there with him. And suddenly, Ed just sat up, clenched his hand into a fist, and smiled. He said, I did it. I did it. Meaning his preaching on Wednesday night. And he laid back. Those were his last words until God took him home to heaven the next morning. God wants to give you the desires of your heart as you delight yourself in the Lord. Could we at least, like Paul, say that for to me to live is Christ? That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. Could we at least have a life that would say, I want to live for God? The desire of our soul. And then I want you to see as we close tonight the destiny of your soul. The design of your soul, the desire of your soul. As we said earlier, our soul has a destiny. It's going to live somewhere forever. The Bible makes it clear that there are only two possibilities when we die for our soul, either heaven or hell. It's one or the other. And where we spend eternity is determined by what we do with the person Jesus Christ. For 1 John 5 and verse 12 says, He that hath the Son, capital S-O-N, God's Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. It's really pretty simple. I illustrated this the other day in chapel to the young people. Do I have this Bible in my hand right now? That's pretty obvious, isn't it? No tricks, no gimmicks. Do I have it in my hand now? I either have it in my hand or I don't have it. I don't almost have it now. I don't think I have it now. I don't have it. I don't think I have it now. I got it. just as much here as if I wave it over here. Do you know that's the exact terminology of the Bible with respect to eternal life? He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. You see, it's not a matter of, well, I think I'm going to get to heaven. I sure hope so. No one can really know for sure. The Bible says you either have eternal life because you have Christ, or you don't have eternal life because you don't have Him. John 3:36, Jesus said, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. It's one or the other. Could I read you a little more of this? On October the 2nd, I was saved. Saved? I thought she went to church every day. She did. But going to church doesn't save you. She was religious. But religion doesn't save. On October the 2nd, I was saved. And I'm so grateful that Ed and his brother Bob were there when I professed my love to our Lord Jesus as my Savior, who died for my sins so that I could be forgiven. Here's how she closes the letter. I'm so glad the hospital allowed us to remain with Ed until 5 p.m. so we were able to say goodbye to him and come to terms with losing him. We miss him very much, but we know that he is now at peace and out of pain in heaven with our Lord. And we look forward to the time when we will be reunited with him someday in heaven. Hey, you know what? A church can't give you that. Religion can't give you that. There's only one person who can, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. He can give you the assurance tonight that when this life ends, whether in good health, in sickness, in old age, whenever it comes, that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Only God can provide that assurance of salvation for you. Do you have eternal life tonight? The Bible says, if not, behold, now is the accepted time.
You've been listening to Harvest Echoes and a message titled, The Value of a Soul, from Evangelist John Getch. It was originally presented in October of 2003 at Harvest Baptist Church on Guam. Harvest Echoes provides you access to a rich archive of sermons and lessons presented at conferences and special meetings at Harvest Baptist Church. Send us a comment or question by visiting our website, hbcguam.net, hbcguam.net. And thank you for listening to Harvest Echoes.